Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What is up, all of my beautiful freaking people? Welcome back to another episode of FML Talk. It's that time of the month, and not for our period, y'all, for my unicorn to come back on the show and grace us with, don't talk yet, I'm doing the intro, with our presence, so sit back, grab a fucking cocktail or a tampon, and welcome to FML Talk.
Oh my God.
Wait, how old was the other girl?
19, can you believe that shit?
Hey, this is Gabrielle Stone.
With book?
I have gotten
in chapter 6 yet. He did what?
48 hours?
What a dick.
Yeah, but have you seen all the photos on our Instagram?
And this is FML Talk.
Oh, no, she didn't.
All right, now you can talk.
Hi, what an intro. Wow, that time of month.
I mean, you know, not for me yet. I still have yet to get my period back after this whole extravagant. Are you just realizing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that that's the case, but I didn't. I just haven't put that together.
Yeah. So I have not. I mean, TM fucking I, everybody. But
I am curious about that.
Well, I haven't gotten my period since December of 2022.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't miss it.
I wanted to ask you. Like,
I do not miss it.
At all.
At all. I do not miss just the hassle that it is, the sometimes crampiness that it is. Like, I just don't miss any part of it.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, it's interesting watching my daughter go through, or at least the coming of age of that.
Yeah.
We just watched that movie. And
we just watched Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah. And it's crazy.
We must increase our bust.
She's like, I was saying that, you know, I was like chanting that in the shower. And I was saying to myself, you don't need to chant that.
Don't put her on blast like that. How embarrassing, Dad. Jesus.
Sorry.
It must be interesting navigating the, throes of womanhood as a girl dad.
Yeah, it is, because I, you know, when they're like our son, it's not, you know, you're not, that's the last thing you're thinking about. It's so far away of like puberty and all that. You're like, right. No, that's never gonna happen.
Right.
And now it's happening, and it's
do you think I'm gonna be the type of mom that's like, you should talk to dad about this? Or do you think I'm gonna be like, look, child.
No, I think you'll probably take it by the reins, whatever the subject
grab
is.
Grab it by the balls.
Yeah, no pun intended. But I think we're going to be a good tag team on in that sense with him.
Well, I think we are with Junie too. All 100%. Of us.
Yeah.
All the parents.
All the parents
play.
Involved. Yeah, we really are.
There's times where...
Three-headed snake.
There's times where Katie texts me and she's like, can you plant this seed in her head? So... Yeah. We can kind of like get this going, because she's not listening to me about this makeup issue.
Yeah. I think I touched up on this the last podcast, though. Watching Stone come up with all these discoveries and like everything is brand new. I vividly remember those moments with Junie. I had just kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
About a lot of that. And now I'm like re-seeing all that. And it totally 100% brings me back to this place of discovery myself. Mm-hmm. I was listening to this podcast today after I dropped Junie off, and they were talking about those moments of like watching your child for the first time discover things and learn things. And
they were talking about that on Smartless?
Yes. Yes. Oh, you fucking pegged me. That sucks.
No, it just sounded so deep for that.
I know. Well,
no, those, I love. Yeah. I fucking love that podcast.
But they were talking with Penelope Cruz, so they were talking about children.
Got it. Right.
And anyways, it like totally, it rang a bell.
Yeah.
I mean, to watch all of his new discoveries completely changes your perspective on life. Yeah. What are you laughing at?
When was the last time you listened to an episode of FML Talk?
Probably the one that I was on.
Back in season one.
It's been a while.
I'm just kidding.
It's been a while. I gotta go. I'll engage.
It's all right. I know you hear enough of me on the daily.
I'll engage. So,
all right. So we're going to dive into a few things on this episode. It is love month, everybody. It is February. It's Valentine's Day. It's all lovey-dovey and sunshine and rainbows and Cupid's bows and all the bows.
Can I stop you for a second and say something like...
You haven't even asked me to be your Valentine, asshole.
I was just
There's a baby sleeping. I've had your whole ass...
Yeah, guys, we're not in a studio right now.
I had your whole ass baby and you still have not been like, will you be my Valentine?
Will you just let me publicly apologize?
Yes, I will.
Look, I fancy myself kind of a hopeless romantic. I'm always buying flowers and I'm trying to...
That's why I married you and then you just drop the ball as soon as I have your baby.
My job here is done. And I would like to publicly ask if you will be my Valentine and also say that I'm sorry that I dropped the ball. It's fucking been bonkers. My life, as you know, as your life is as well. And it doesn't mean that I don't love you and I don't want to be romantic and spend the day. It means that, look, I dropped the ball. Sorry. And will you be my Valentine?
I will. I've already planned our night out. So,
God, I love you. Fuck.
Type A.
So good. Guys, it's so good.
That's fine. If you let me publicly say that if you drop the ball on Mother's Day this year, we will be getting a divorce.
No. No, that won't happen. That's in May.
And I don't want breakfast in bed.
What do you want?
Did you ever know? Do you know like that Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, like they spoke about this publicly once and she was like, why the fuck do like dads on like Father's Day be like, cool, I'll have like your shitty pancakes in bed and then I will go golf for the day and like drink whiskey on the golf course and like, you know, she'll take the kids and blah, blah, blah. And then moms are like,
you get breakfast in
bed. Here's breakfast in bed and then like let's like paint your nails and like do a bunch of shit all day. No, I want to be sent to the spa.
Okay.
I want a day.
Oh, you're making this public, aren't you?
I was.
Fuck.
Yeah. I want like a day away for like relaxation.
I can do that.
Okay.
I can do that.
If you could call Nick Finch and have him send Alex with me, that would be great. She's listening to this and she's about to forward this podcast onto him.
Oh, that's how you get your listeners?
That's how we do it. I'm genuinely teasing. I talked about on the solo episode that we did this month that like Valentine's Day is so built up by society. I think every day should be, you know.
Yeah.
You should go to dinner and like have bottles of wine like randomly because it's a Wednesday.
And it's also because you love that person.
Yeah, you guys deserve to do some fun love stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there it is.
Okay. But yes, I'll be your Valentine, I guess.
Okay, cool. Nice. I got that. Score. I got that going for me, guys.
So we're going to talk about something that has been a little difficult lately. I was really hesitant on like if I even wanted to discuss this on this podcast. So because I love my FMLers and everyone that's listening so much, and I really do trust you guys to respect my boundaries, please, unless you are going to DM me and tell me what a wonderful decision and great job I'm doing, I don't want to hear any opinions on what we are about to talk about. It is very touchy subject.
Well, it's also personal.
Yeah. And
it's we're just about to break that personal barrier,
I'm talking about it because I want other people who are potentially going through it or might go through it to be able to hear our experience and like the positives and the negatives. I also have like a really big lesson that I have learned through all of this, but I just don't want any personal opinions of like, if you're on the opposite side of the fence, just have them. They're yours to have, but like keep them to your motherfucking selves. Yeah. Respectfully.
Nice. Nice little disclaimer.
You know. So we have been entering into the throes of sleep training. Stone is 6 months now. 6 months, the day we're recording this, like in like a few days. I don't even know what day it is anymore. Anyways, and so we waited till he was in the 5.5-6 month range, and he was like a rock star sleeper when he was born and a newborn, and I think we even got spoiled in that sense. Mm-hmm. And then he hit his 4 month regression and
hit it like a ton of bricks. He hit it like a
It was like a fucking 180.
Yeah, complete 180.
And honestly, like even his 180 wasn't as bad as like stories I've heard.
Right.
Like he was getting up like 3 times a night to like breastfeed.
Yeah,
like it wasn't that bad, but. What ultimately like led us to the decision to go into sleep training is besides the fact that so many of my friends have done it, a lot of my family members have done it, everyone like swears by it and is like, my kids still like will like go into their room at 7 p.m. and not wake up until 7 a.m. And like they're such a good sleeper. They can sleep in any environment. They can, you know, so many of my friends and family who I really trust swear by it. Many of them are psychologists and like just people, I really trust their opinions, but I do feel that it's a very personal decision for each parent and mm-hmm. mother. But the reason why I personally wanted to do it was because I know with our lifestyle and our work, how we are not always going to be at home in our environment where he has his nursery and like mm-hmm. everything's the same. Like there's going to be a lot of travel coming up in the future. There's, you know, times where we're gone for long extended periods of time. And I wanted to give him the tools he needed to have healthy sleep habits.
Well, to be able to sleep on those moments where we're not in these environments.
Yes. Yep. Yes. So we worked with a sleep consultant because I like didn't want to just like blindly go into this and like needed someone to walk me through it and make sure I was doing everything correctly. Now, let me preface this by saying there's a difference between like the cry it out method that was like, you know, I think came about back in the fucking 80s where you just like put the baby in the room and like you don't come in until the morning. This is not that. This sleep training method is, I believe it's called the Ferber method. Oh my God, I might be misspeaking. Don't fucking come for me, guys. And it's basically like on the first night you like rock them and you like do your whole bedtime routine and you put them in the crib awake and you're like, I love you so much. You can do this. You're going to have such a great night's sleep. And then you turn the light off. You leave the room. If they start crying, you start a timer. And the first night you go in every 5 minutes. The second night you go in every 7 minutes. The third night you go in every 10 minutes. And the fourth night you go in every 15. And then you stay at 15. This was so fucking difficult for me. Like,
As was me, but nothing.
Oh my God. I can't even explain to you guys. Like, it wasn't like, oh, this is really hard. It was like, my nervous system is like fucked up the ass after this.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, according to the sleep consultant and like all the research I did, he was doing like wildly well right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Like we had never had to do more than 2
weren't.
Check-ins. I just wasn't fucking okay.
Right.
He actually got the hang of it really freaking quickly.
Yeah.
But the 5 minutes of him crying felt like a fucking hour. There were nights where I had to like,
you wanted to negotiate with the sleep consultant at 2.5 minutes.
She was
and she's like I'll
I
meet
mean,
you
if
at
you
4.
Need
and
to.
then we were like, all right, let's just play the game.
So I had to leave the house a couple nights like, and, but even it helped a little when I wasn't hearing it, but even knowing that it was happening, like until I got the text of like, okay, he's down, everything's fine. I was still like in a fucking state. Like mm-hmm. it just really wrecked me. Summer is here and life is not slowing down for us anytime soon. One of the things we have continuously relied on making our lives so much easier is Factor meals. No prep, no mess, no cleanup meals. I have really been off the wagon with my eating since having my son, and for my health, my wellness, and my mental sanity, I have been switching my dinners to more healthy options from Factor. They have 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. And Tay is continuously shocked every time he sits down to eat one because they are so freaking tasty. They have breakfast, lunches, dinners, and desserts, it's a treat to have restaurant quality food that is so easy to prepare and doesn't come with the insane Postmates bill. Head to factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 and use code FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code FMLTalk50 at factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Enjoy, FMLers.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Well, I mean, and to see you like that, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Because I can see it affecting you. It's by no choice of it's just happening.
Yeah.
And not to like bring up that subject, but I saw that in my ex-wife with Junie, same exact thing. And we weren't able to complete it.
Yeah. I remember I called Katie when we were doing this, like at the beginning, and I was like, I'm just dying. And she was like, yeah, that's why my child still sleeps in bed with me and I have to tickle her back and braid her hair. And she like won't fall asleep until like I do a certain number of things for her.
Yep. And it's going to be like, it's, yeah.
So I, for that reason, I was like, okay, I have to like really commit, but
and stick to it and leave the house when it's not working for you.
We are right now, as we're recording this, only on week 3, I think, and like he's pretty dialed in now.
He's pretty dialed in. We still have rough naps.
Yeah. And everybody says like the naps are always like the toughest. But what was happening, which is why we decided originally we needed to do this, was for the naps and for the bedtime. If it wasn't me putting him down, there was no going down.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm not going down with Dad. I'm not going down with Grandma. Yep. I'm not going down with Auntie Vale. Like,
I got him down one time at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that was...
I will never forget. You were like, I'm going to try to do bedtime tonight.
Oh,
and
my God.
You came out after 45 minutes of him wailing in your arms, like being consoled. He was wailing for 45 minutes in your arms and you came out and you looked like you had been shot.
Right. I mean, because I was... There's something to be said... It takes a different part of you when you can't control or comfort your own child. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. And, you know, you get frustrated too. It gets frustrating. Yeah. It's like, why are you yelling?
You know, why are you yelling at me? I'm holding
stop
you.
Stop yelling at me.
and then I walked in after that. Put him in my arms, started singing our song.
I wasn't even out the door.
30 seconds.
I wasn't even out the door yet.
He was calm. And within 5 minutes, he was asleep.
Yeah.
So this was happening with like naps. And so I was really trapped to like every hour and a half to 2 hours, I had to be home. And it was causing a lot of like stress and anxiety on like whenever a nap time was coming up or we had to put him down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we decided, those are all the reasons why we decided to do it. And I really wanted to like get him going on healthy sleep habits and being able to like soothe himself. I watch the monitor intently now and I see him actively do that.
Yeah.
When he wakes up in the middle of the night,
right.
When he is going to bed, like he takes his little snuggie and like does
so
this
cute.
Like cute little thing where he like pets the so fucking cute. God, I love him so much. but anyways, those are all the reasons we decided to do it. Now I want to talk about why it was so difficult for me on a different level. Because it wasn't just like I'm a mom and this is triggering all of the instincts in me. We know that kids come into our lives to help us heal some shit, as like any relationship that comes in to mirror some stuff. And this was no different. I am obviously like here to heal my through line of abandonment. And when I was young, I think I was like 2 and a half, it was in the 80s, and my mom's Mommy and Me group and all the research that was coming out was like, put them in their room and let them be there for the night and like they have to get through it type thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I remember from that experience, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before,
but
what I remember from that experience is being on my side of the door in my room in the little hallway that led to my door, screaming and crying, like, please let me out. Please come get me. Like, it was like my first kind of like abandonment feeling.
Right.
And what I don't remember when I ended up talking to my mom about this, when it came up in therapy back, like right after my divorce, she was like, oh my God, Gabrielle, I sat on the other side of that door and talked to you the entire night and was like, I'm right here. You're okay. Mommy's gonna, she's like, I slept on the other side of the fucking door.
Right, right.
But I don't remember that. I just remember that like abandoned feeling and that trauma. So of course, when we start doing this, I immediately go to, I'm passing this on, I'm traumatizing my child, like blah, 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 blah. Granted,
well, there's more,
I personally feel that you're going to remember those types of things more when you are 2.5 versus when you are 5 months old.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people listening to that being like, no, that's not true. Again, please.
I mean,
no
there
opinions.
Are moments when he has, when he's crying and the cry becomes a scream and like, you know, those moments I'm like, ooh, I wonder if this one's making an impact.
Right.
This one's going to leave a mark.
Don't say that. Oh, God.
Here we go.
So anyways, I start to kind of realize that all of that is being brought to the surface. So, of course, I call my mom to do some work around it. If you guys, for whatever reason, haven't listened to the episodes that my mom has been on, she's a clairaudient channel where she works with energy and does a lot of like testing and can heal a lot of subconscious blocks and yada, yada, yada. She works with people all over the world on a daily basis, and her work is really incredible. Mm-hmm. So I call her. And we start getting into all of this, and she's like, yeah, this whole experience is bringing up the residual stuff you have to work on around abandonment. And like, Stone is here to help facilitate that. Like, he's showing you the parts that you need to go back and dig a little deeper and do some more healing around. So I start like looking into that. I kid you not. The next night, like the day we got to that night, I'm like doing our bedtime routine. And I'm like, you know, we sit, we do his bottle. I do his affirmations with him. And after, I was like, I want you to know, some people are going to think I'm fucking cuckoo for this. I don't give a shit. Welcome to my life.
I know you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but I love you.
I was doing his affirmations and I looked at him and I was like, all right, dude, look, because that's how I talk to my son. Listen, dude. I was like, I want you to know that mommy got the message that there's still some work she has to do on her abandonment. I want to thank you for bringing that forward. I really got it loud and clear. I understand. And I want you to know that you can go to sleep tonight really easily and peacefully because mommy understands now and she got the message. I am not kidding.
I know you came out and
when
it.
I tell you. I put him down after our song. He took a like cute little coo of a sigh, rolled over into his snuggie and fucking went to sleep without a peep. And I was like, okay, maybe it's just a one off.
Right. No.
No. Had the same conversation with him the fucking next night. Same goddamn thing happened. So whether you're spiritual, whether you believe in any of the stuff, I urge you when stuff feels like, why is this so incredibly triggering? Like, you know, I'm sure it's difficult for every mom to hear their kid cry, especially I feel like it was really jarring for us because he doesn't cry a lot.
Right.
So this went from like a baby who
doesn't really cry
unless there's something upsetting and wrong to like hearing him cry often. And like, that was really difficult. But if there's something in your life that's triggering you, like, in a big, big way, it's trying to tell you something. It's trying to give you some information and look deeper as to what that message can be. Since he's been born, I'm like very aware of the abandonment fear in a different way. This is so morbid, but part of me almost wants to have another child because like, what if something happens type thing? And that's such a trauma response.
Expand on that. Right? What do you mean?
You know, again, this is so fucking morbid, but my high school sweetheart who passed, I look back at that all the time and I'm like, thank God they had another kid. Like, he had a younger brother.
Got it.
Like, what would I have done as a parent if like my one and only child like, I would fucking just
there's so
die.
Many people out there that's happened to.
I know. And if you happen to be listening to this and you are one of the people that have had a child, loss of a child, my heart goes out to you in the biggest, biggest way, because no one should have to ever experience that. But I'm saying that because it's made me very aware, like, that thought is not normal. Mm-hmm. So it's made me look at what else do I need to heal around this abandonment stuff, because we know that our thoughts create our reality. So we have to make sure that we're not living in that fear.
Right.
So anytime I have those thoughts come up, which is usually like at night when I'm trying to go to sleep, because mm-hmm. my intrusive thoughts are wild.
Mine are too.
I stop and I change the narrative in my head. So instead of like, we're driving off a cliff when he's 7 years old, we are standing dancing at his wedding.
When he's seven?
No.
I got it.
When he's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So just being really conscious of making sure you're tracking your thoughts and like changing the narrative in your head.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I too have been, I don't know if it's from, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think it's partially age, mm-hmm. getting older, and you start like seeing the other side of your life, mm-hmm. The second half, mm-hmm. and you start, the intrusive thoughts start to get real, really big, because now you have children and you want to be around for as long as possible and mm-hmm. take care of them. And you don't want to leave them, because that's going to leave an empty void for them.
Right.
So those I mean, I like what you said, you know, try to redirect
right.
as soon as possible, because the thing about intrusive thoughts, at least I'm speaking for myself, mine happen in bed too, mm-hmm. is if you let it go, they start to go deeper yeah. and deeper and deeper.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
So interesting. Your fear is more around you dying on your children, and my fear is more around like them losing dying. Them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is. I think about it a lot.
Mm.
I think about it a lot.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That we're like opposite of that. We'll have to do some work.
I wonder why. Do you think that's because of an age thing?
I don't know. I think we'll have to do some work with Mama Wallace, because I'm sure there's something deeper to that that is supposed to get brought up. So we will have to get back to you and tell you what massive shit we
part
got to
do.
Anyways, before we make a hard right turn, if you guys are going through the sleep training process, or you're like getting ready to, or you're like making the decision, I support whatever the mother and the family decides is best for them and their needs. Obviously, moving forward on this podcast, we are going to be talking about different parenting stuff and, you know, my experiences and stuff. And I always want this to be a safe space where I can express my feelings and what we're going through in hopes of helping other people that are listening and giving you my experience, my advice. But always know that whatever you decide to do for your own self is the best thing that you can do for yourself.
Right. Or
no,
your baby.
No judgments and no shaming on this podcast, unless you're a cheating asshole. On that note, let's get into your listener questions. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hey, How do you know if the relationship is worth the effort or if it's time to leave if there's no huge red flag like cheating, lying, abuse, etc.? How do you know if it's your own shit or if they're actually triggering it because they suck?
In short, you don't. So, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, throw the chips up and see where they fall and pursue something or stay in something because the love is there. But if there's, you know, you don't know, you just let it run its course. That would be my advice. That's what I've done in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I kind of know right away. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm a serial monogamist, I would go from relationship to relationship and I would know right away if I was going, if this was the one or mm-hmm. whatever. And if it wasn't, I would end the relationship because it was, I knew it wasn't there, but there were times where you wouldn't know yet.
Yeah.
You'd be like, okay, you know, this is kind of blossoming into something beautiful and I'm enjoying this. So you don't know.
Right. I think it's a tricky question because my conscious mind would say if you have to ask that question,
it's not the right one.
It's probably not the right relationship.
Yeah.
If you feel like it's become work and it's become effort, like we've talked about this in the past, I don't believe that the right relationship should feel like work or effort. Are there times where like you have to get through things and it feels a little shitty and like there are times yeah. where like you fight, of course, but I don't think it should feel like consistent work or effort.
Right. No, I mean, there's the saying as to make a relationship work, you got to put in the work. And that's true. There is truth to that. But you're right. I have never with you, for example, never felt like it was work.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It was like, okay, we're having a disagreement. Look, guys, we're two fucking human beings trying to cohabitate. I don't care who you are or soulmates this or soulmates that. It's two totally different human beings like trying to make a life and, you know, do it together. So it's good. There's going to be work, but I've never felt like it was work.
I agree. That being said, on the flip side of that answer mm-hmm. is people read about our whole back and forth in the Ridiculous uh-huh. Misadventures. So like that, I kind of was in that place, mm-hmm. not to say that the relationship felt like work or worth the effort, but I was back and forth and questioning on if it was the right thing.
Right.
And that answer was that I had some shit to go heal.
Yeah.
So, but, and that's what she's asking is like, how do you know if it's like worth the time or effort or if they're triggering something in you that you need to fix to then be good yeah. in the relationship? And my answer to that is go on a solo trip to Southeast Asia. No, I'm just kidding. my answer to that is if you need to step away from the relationship to heal, that is what you should do. Not in fear of
losing.
Oh, maybe I'm going to lose them. Like oh, if right, it's the right. right person, it's going to work itself out. Mm-hmm. Either they'll be there or things will come back around or it wasn't meant
or
to
it
be
wasn't meant to
that
be.
Person.
Let's take
and
us
you got the lessons. Yeah. So take it for that.
Yeah, but that's a very difficult moment.
Of course, that's very difficult it's because everybody doesn't want to lose like something that they have and then regret it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How do you still make time for each other after having kids? We don't. This motherfucker hasn't even asked me to be his Valentine. Just kidding.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because when you are running around crazy and you have kids and you've got jobs and this and that, there is no time. So the time is like when you're sitting down at the dinner table or in bed, like pillow talk. Those are the times, and I cherish those times mm-hmm. greatly.
Well, when we moved Stone into his crib, into his room,
oh yeah,
the first night we got into bed, we were like, wait,
what do we do?
We don't have to be quiet.
Yeah.
We're not whispering. What's going on?
Yeah.
And it was like this yeah. like weird sense of like getting some sense of freedom and like normalcy back. Mm-hmm. And I will say that now the past 3 weeks that we've been, you know, that he's been transitioning with all the sleep stuff, we put him to bed at 7. Yeah. He's asleep by 7:05, 7:10. And we have, you know, the next yeah. like 2 hours to kind of like reconnect, be with ourselves, hang with Junie if yeah. it's one of the days that
but
she's
also,
here.
I you know, let's not, we do make an effort. We've gone,
oh, for sure.
I mean, we've gone on
Some date nights.
More date nights than I could have, I would have thought.
Yeah.
You know, and we were always trying to go out and like, yeah, we do pretty good.
Yeah. I think we make an effort and it's like, okay, grandma's going to come over and spend, you know, 3 hours with the baby and we've done dinners at 4 p.m.
Oh, well, that
to be home for that
is one thing that is one thing that's we're changed like a little bit.
Early bird special
and,
vibes.
And
although they're really good happy hours during that time.
Yeah, there are great so, happy hours, but like, also going to bed early. Like everything's changed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Gone are the days of me sleeping in until like 8:30. Well,
didn't I just say that this morning in the kitchen? I said like it's, you know, when 10, 11 years ago when Junie came, I used to sleep in normal like you did.
Yeah.
And that stopped. Granted, I was the primary parent because Katie went back to school to teach. That was brutal, by the way.
Yeah.
Talk about a difference of responsibility as opposed to now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We also, you and I don't have like regular jobs. So
right.
We do have it significantly easier.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as like how to juggle schedules and stuff. But yeah, I mean, we make time for each other. I also want to point out that like, there is no shame in scheduling stuff. And by stuff, I include sex. Like if you're like, we're having a sex date tonight, 8 p.m., you, me, the bed. Like,
yeah, no shame in that.
Yeah, schedule your shit. Schedule date nights, schedule sex. Like it doesn't have to be less but do sexy.
But do it because the problem and it you get complacent. You get tired too. Everybody's fucking exhausted by 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh God, we were going to go out to dinner tonight. Like,
yeah.
You want to just bail on that? Yeah. So like try to make an
effort.
Yeah,
but there's also no shame in being like,
no, yeah.
Let's fucking rain check.
Right.
Okay. Staying on the sex train, my sex drive has literally disappeared. Any tips? My mom lost hers super early.
I thought that was you. I wasn't looking at you. I didn't know that was the question. I was like, really?
You're like, oh, shit.
Shit. Wait. Okay.
My sex drive has literally disappeared. Any tips? My mom lost hers super early. Let's start by saying we're not doctors.
Yeah.
Like, we need to preface that.
I mean, there's a lot of questions like, did she have a baby?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
we don't have any of the information. I will say I used to say that I had a like low sex drive when I was with my ex-husband. And that was because I just didn't want to be having sex with him.
Yeah, I kind of was going to say like, I don't want to get clinical because we aren't doctors, but are we happy with the person that we are with? That is, I think, the biggest thing.
Yeah. And then if the answer to that is yes, then I would go and see your doctor, bring it up to them. I know that depending on like your age, there's times when your progesterone levels are off and that can really affect stuff. So it's really making sure your whole body and your hormones are in balance because it might not be something that like you're doing. It could be something that's fixable that just needs to be like tuned up.
Well, the thing that throws me off a little bit is that her mom lost hers when she was.
Right.
So there's something going on that she'd want to talk to a doctor about.
Right.
But I will say this to everybody, like sometimes that happens and so what? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not in this case, but like if, you know, sometimes it's not happening. I think I remember a couple times we would have like long periods of time that we wouldn't be doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, and then we would discuss it.
Yeah.
And we would even, you know, talk about it.
And I've talked about on the podcast before, like a lot of that for me was you helping me unravel a lot of the physical trauma that
around it
came from my marriage.
Yeah.
And helping me kind of like undo a lot of that. So I don't know if that answered the question. I feel like we kind of gave a few different options on that. Okay. This one's interesting. Okay, so this one kind of came in a couple different waves, so I'm going to like break it down and kind of summarize. So this listener, had vertical sleeve surgery. I've been 256 pounds for the last 8 years due to heart health meds. Got the sleeve surgery. Now she's 170 since August. And her partner is telling me that she looks good and thinks she's sexy, but his words don't match his actions, which is making her feel really insecure. So like he's saying like, you look so good, you look so I love this new like version of you, but like the actions aren't matching that. Okay. So like he's not like initiating intimacy right. and making her feel sexy, and it's affecting the relationship. Oof, that's a lot to unpack.
Mm-hmm. That's so much to unpack that I think therapy is.
Yeah, because my answer was going to be communication. So yeah. whether that's like with just the two of you sitting down and you being open, or writing a letter to really like get all your feelings out on paper so he can like understand where you're coming from, or sitting down with a therapist, if that's something everyone's open to, yes. I think can be like huge, especially a therapist that like specializes in intimacy and, you know, coaching in that
mm-hmm.
realm, because yep. you want to not only be able to feel good and confident about yourself, but you want him to, I think maybe too, and this is like me projecting, there could be part of your partner that's a little timid to jump right in into like this new
yeah.
found sense of self that you have, uh-huh. like not wanting to ever make you think he didn't think you were attractive and sexy before. So now he like doesn't want to mm-hmm. be like over the top. Like there could be a million different answers to it.
Yeah.
So I would say,
and
therapy, communication.
Therapy, communication, but also possibly individual therapy.
Mm.
Yeah. Not necessarily coupled, but yeah, that too. But I think like he might want to really like look into himself as to what's going on. I think that's the key component.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's end on this. Do you believe in manifesting the love of your life? I mean, we're sitting here talking to you. No, yeah. Just kidding.
But do I believe? Yes, I do. And I'm going to tell you why. I fucking have empirical evidence.
Okay. God damn it. Drop it on us, Tamor.
Well, us. Mm-hmm. Okay. I knew. I had envisioned us being together. I had envisioned us having a family, a kid, way back when I would be driving to your mom's.
Mm-hmm.
That was way back when.
Yeah.
And I just kept believing. And then all of the back and forth started happening. And that's when I started to waver. But I was like, no. If she comes back, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do. I do believe that you can do it. I believe that you can manifest anything.
I agree.
Not just the love of your life. I think as your mom so eloquently taught me mm-hmm. and as you teach me, your thoughts become real.
Yeah.
And you can manifest anything. And yeah. if you believe that, that's step one,
mm-hmm.
is you got to believe that you can do it. If you believe you can do it, it doesn't mean it's all going to just start happening. And
right.
you say, I believe I'm going to get a new car tomorrow. And that doesn't mean it's going to happen. But if you believe that it's achievable, you can really start to shift things.
Yeah.
I am a slow learner with that.
Mm.
Yes, you well have made, you've said to me many times before, you know, like, dude, if you just start saying your things and da 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 da. And yes, I do need to do that more. It's interesting. We talk about this because
yeah, I'm pretty
today
sure
the gym, I was like,
I'm pretty sure the last time you did that and really focused on it, you booked a massive Nissan campaign that like kind of changed your life for a little bit.
Yeah, I did. And yeah, you know, right now, like, my life is being changed drastically with our son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of those other manifestations are starting to...
In the pipeline.
On
the way.
In the pipeline.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I think that you can 100% manifest the love of your life and anything, but you need to have an open line to do so. So if you have unhealed shit, you can manifest the love of your life, but it's not necessarily going to show up in the way that you want or mm-hmm. going to work out if you have not
mm-hmm.
done the work on your end.
Right.
Doesn't mean you can't do the work in a relationship, but right. if you're not going to show up and take responsibility in that sense, and you have to be very clear on like what exactly you want and not think that the toxic asshole that is, you know, love bombing and toying with you is the love of your life and you can't let go of that to open up the line and manifest like the real healthy love.
Well, and especially if people haven't experienced much love in their lives.
Right.
All of a sudden some guy comes or some girl comes around and you're just like, fucking, this is it.
Yeah.
Because they haven't experienced much of that. So of course they're going to dive head first.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said about that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Final, just what do you want to leave everybody with for Love Month, whether they're single, in a relationship, recovering from heartbreak, this February month?
Don't be an idiot like me and not ask your wife to be your Valentine, number one. I think, you know, this is a tough month for a lot of people. It's always been the most fun and romantic month. But on the flip side of the coin, a lot of people are single. Anybody who's single hates to see the hearts and all the shit. I get it. I think if that's the case.
If they're unhappily single.
If they're unhappily single, try to find some time to love yourself.
Yeah.
Because what I'm starting to try to teach my kids, not my son, of course, yet, is that you're not going to be able to love anybody else if you don't love yourself first. Mm-hmm. You just won't. And it's going a long way with my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that loving yourself regardless and have fucking fun.
Yeah.
And crazy wild sex all month long.
Okay. On that note, love you guys. We'll see you next week. And Tay, we'll see you next month.
Go down, showdown.
That's what you're going to end with? Okay.
I almost sang you a ballad. Love you guys. Thanks.
As always, I want to thank Tay for coming on and co-hosting with me. I hope you guys are enjoying the new vibe of the show, the new structure. I've been having so much fun in our spare time sitting down and recording these episodes together. I love you guys. I will see you next week. All right, FMLers, if you don't want to miss an episode, make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app. And if you're loving the show, drop us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You can keep up with me on Instagram at Gabrielle Stone or the podcast page at FML Talk Podcast. For all the merch and books signed personally by me, you can shop the FML line on eatprayfml.com. And as always, have a fucking self-love cocktail on me. Cheers.
Welcome to As a Woman, Fertility Hormones and Beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Natalie Crawford, and I am a fertility physician and co-founder of Fora Fertility in Austin, Texas. We will talk about a wide range of topics, including the menstrual cycle, your hormones, infertility, IVF, mental health, and, well, beyond. So join us and become part of the community of collaboration that amplifies others as a woman.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.